Please be seated. As many of you are acutely aware, this is the season for graduations. And with graduations comes that all-important, or sometimes dreaded, commencement address. Now, I've been a part of three graduations this past week, and I've spoken at two of them. And I'm not about to pretend that any of the kids are going to remember anything I have to say. They're ready to get to the party afterwards. But that doesn't keep me from trying. It doesn't keep me from wanting to say something, anything, that might mean something to them as they enter these new chapters in their lives. Because I won't see many of them again. And last words matter. In our lives, when what we said last to someone before they leave us, whether it's a graduation or any kind of transition in life, what we say last to someone, and in turn what they may have said to us, are so often memories of joy and encouragement. And sometimes, unfortunately, they're words of regret and remorse. We take these words seriously. We turn them over in our minds, we ponder them, we store them up in our hearts. And if last words include a request by someone we love, we will do anything in our power to make such a request happen. Last words matter. And I think when most of us consider the last words of Jesus, our minds go back to the cross. Father, forgive them. Finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. But as Easter people, we know those weren't his last words. We know, but we can't fully imagine, that time after the resurrection that he spent with his friends and with those he loved. According to Luke, the last words of Jesus aren't contained in the gospel you heard today, but instead are found in his reading from Acts. It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Last words matter. You shall receive power and you shall be my witnesses. Now, do you believe those words were merely for Jesus' disciples that day? Or do you think those are words directed to us as well? Because that matters as well. It's important to notice exactly what Jesus has to say. It's not, you may be my witnesses, or you might be my witnesses. He says, you shall be my witnesses. And if Jesus is talking to us as well as to his disciples, as I believe he's doing, then those last words matter. In fact, they matter a lot. But they sure do make us feel uncomfortable, don't they? That word, witness. Witnessing. That can send a chill up the back of any good Episcopalian. But it shouldn't be that way. It need not, because telling others about our faith in God doesn't have to be like everyone else. It doesn't have to be loud and boisterous to the point where it threatens and offends others. Witnessing is most often done through loving care, through telling our stories, the things that we do all the time. Witnessing is less about proclaiming and more about making a phone call or a note when a friend loses a loved one, a cup of coffee with a neighbor who's going through a difficult time, a visit with a relative or friend who's in a nursing home or hospital, or even a simple invitation to someone who you know is looking for somewhere to belong. But we're still not comfortable with that, are we? The concept of witnessing. And it's not because we have weak faith. I think it's more a lack of feeling qualified. Trying to be just good and faithful is infinitely easier. Paul Harvey once said that too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. I take that to mean that we are more concerned about the church itself than we are about touching the lives of other people. More concerned with our religion than helping others discover why that religion matters in the first place. As Easter people, we're baptized by water and the Spirit. We are given a power to make a difference out there, to bring people to the knowledge and love of God through what we say and do in their presence, through the stories that we share. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky?" I wonder if that's not a good question for us sometimes. Why do we so often stand looking up to the heavens? Why do we consider so much those things over which we have no control? Why do we spend so much time among people who are already a part of the family of God when there are so many people out there who need to hear our story? When so many need the hope and the healing that we have found? When so many need not only a kind deed, but are so desperately seeking what you already hold in your heart? Are we witnesses, or are we merely keepers of the aquarium? Do we look for a chance to make a difference, or are we content staring up into the heavens? It's worth thinking about, not just as individuals, but as the body of Christ. And as a priest, I can't tell you how much time I spend reading articles about church growth or hearing speakers talk about congregational development. There's a whole industry out there dedicated to tell you how to become an auditorium with thousands. But I'm convinced the church needs less gimmicks like that, programs, and simply needs more good witnesses. As summer begins and things slow down a little bit, let's commit ourselves to making this a summer of witnessing. Every single person here knows someone who is seeking, who is looking, who is needing. Why in the world would we just stand staring into the heavens or tending the fish in our own little aquarium when witnessing isn't very hard at all? It's as simple as a kind word, a selfless deed, a listening ear, and an invitation to explore and ask questions. It can be as simple as a phone call inviting someone to join you for church. It can be as non-intrusive as an invitation to someone to ride on your boat for Shell Island Sunday. But whatever form it takes, being a witness is about extending a hand. And until that hand is extended, there is no gospel and there is no hope for the world. And the amazing thing is the promise that we never do this witnessing alone. It is the Holy Spirit which enabled and guided the ministry of those disciples, and it is the same Holy Spirit which enables and guides us today to have the courage and compassion to extend that hand. "You shall be my witnesses," Jesus says. Last words really do matter. May we store up in our hearts the last words of the one we call Savior. May they empower us to go forth, reach out, and to lift up. And may they give us the commitment and courage to just tell our own story. Because there really is a world out there literally dying to hear what you have to say. God love you. Amen.